With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If there's one thing we know how to do here in Appalachia, it's telling tales. And that's only natural, because we got a lot of folklore all its own. Made up of monsters, ghosts, jacktails, and a whole lot more. Sit back and listen now as we tell you all the lore of these mountains. You're listening to Mountain Lore, Tales from Appalachia.
Gina, there are stories of strange things, folklore from all over Appalachia, including locally, right here where we record this podcast, actually about 45 minutes away from here.
Mm-hmm.
You've been to Big Stone Gap.
Certainly,
in
yep.
Southwest Virginia, and I was raised there. Were you aware that there was a vampire in Big Stone Gap?
You know, that's a new one on me. I probably have heard lots of ghost stories around there, but never a vampire. Now, yeah. That's interesting.
That's new one for me, too, being raised there, but I hadn't heard this. But as I was getting ready for this week's podcast, looking for some different stories that might be out there to tell folks, I came across this story in a book, and we just have to tell this because it's very fascinating.
It is. Yes, it is.
All right.
Do tell.
Well, I will. Big Stone Gap was settled in the early 19th century and known as Three Forks, for the three forks of the Powell River, north, middle, and south. They all met there in Big Stone. Later, it was known as Mineral City for the wealth of the coal and other minerals located in the nearby mountains. The name Big Stone Gap came from the water gap between the town and the nearby town of Appalachia, and was given to the town by the men who came into the area seeking to exploit those aforementioned mineral resources after the Civil War. And for a time, Big Stone Gap was set to explode in wealth and population. Did you know, Gina, that many saw the town as the next Pittsburgh?
Oh.
Yeah, destined to be the next major Appalachian metropolis. Now, obviously, that didn't happen, mainly because there was a next to the Great Depression, the second worst, in 1893, but it could have happened because of the coal boom. During the coal boom, believe it or not, there were dukes and princes and other assorted folks from Europe all coming to town looking to partake in all that activity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So many, in fact, that the town soon started holding its own medieval jousting tournaments. Did you know that?
I think I've heard that one along the way, yeah. But okay. In Big Stone,
In Big Stone Gap. Now, they were made famous by local author John Fox Jr. in his book, A Knight of the Cumberland.
Ah.
Do you know where they had those jousting tournaments?
No.
Do you know where Big Stone Gap Elementary School used to be?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they've closed it, but there was a Magic Mart, there's a Food City, and a bank, and all that. That's where it was. That little lot there used to be the town fairgrounds.
Right in the middle of town.
Right in the middle of town, and that's where they would have these festivals every summer, and they would have jousting tournaments there.
Oh, wow.
But as the story goes, among those prominent and wealthy Europeans moving into the Appalachian Mountains of Southwest Virginia, who may or may not have partaken of the jousting tournaments, was one not so prominent or so wealthy, a man known only by his last name of Rupp. And as far as we know, he came from somewhere in Central or Eastern Europe. Now, Mr. Rupp was a reclusive man. He was never interested in socializing with his neighbors, much less the rest of the folks who lived in Big Stone. Rupp had built himself a tiny cabin up in the woods on a mountainside. There, Gina, he lived all by himself. But while he lived alone, he was definitely noticed by the folks in the area. You see, soon after he moved onto his land, strange things began to happen. A local farmer found two of his prize cows slaughtered in the field. this wasn't normally considered strange because oftentimes bears or wolves in the area would occasionally kill a cow. The difference here, though, was that these cows had been dismembered, with the attacker leaving only the head and hindquarters of each cow in the field. Oh, here's one other thing. All the blood in the cows was missing.
Oh, my.
As time went by, more animals were discovered, butchered and drained of blood the same way. And suspicion fell on this strange, reclusive European living in that little cabin in the woods. This suspicion was fueled when two boys happened to pass his cabin one day and saw the hermit sitting in front of his fireplace eating a large piece of raw meat.
Oh.
Yeah, that would do it for me right there. Mm-hmm. Well, the folks in the area soon demanded the sheriff place Mr. Rupp under arrest, but he refused, citing a lack of evidence linking Rupp to the dead animals. But soon things would change. You see, the town drunk went missing a few weeks later. A few days after his disappearance, Gina, his body was found in the woods with an arm and a leg missing and, yes, no blood in his body.
Oh.
All this happened a quarter mile from the Rupp cabin. But he was only the first victim. There was a man who was employed as a salesman of odds and ends. And in his business, this fellow would travel around the hills and hollers of southwest Virginia and eastern Kentucky, selling his wares and making a modest living for himself. In doing so, he relied on the kindness of the folks in the area for room and board of a night. Well, one day, when he was supposed to check in with the home office and account for the previous week's sales, he failed to do so. Pretty soon, it was discovered why. Someone stumbled upon the man's body, also drained of blood, and missing parts, just like the town drunk and all those animals, and something had to be done. The community was sure Rupp was the man responsible, so a group of men was appointed as a posse to go to the Rupp cabin and see what was going on, which they did on an unexpected visit. And when they got there, they found that Mr. Rupp was nowhere to be found, having apparently gone into the woods for some reason. Not wanting to wait on him, the men decided to go inside the grungy old cabin to poke around. So one brave soul, discovering the door unlocked, gently nudged it open enough to see inside. And what he saw haunted the men in that party for the rest of their lives. Strewn about the inside of that little cabin in the woods were body parts, some of them animal, most of them human. Arms, legs, torsos, heads, you name it was in there. The tops of Rupp's table and the countertops were covered in blood. The men then set fire to the cabin and burned it to the ground, which I probably would have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They left then to go on a manhunt for old Rupp, but he was never found. It's presumed that he died in the woods, but no one can be 100% sure about that because they never found his body. It's said, though, that the woods around his little cabin are haunted by his ghost to this day, over 100 years later. And animals, as well as people, are known to vanish without a trace in that area, even now.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
That's unbelievable that they would see all that in the... Yeah.
That was my reaction, too. Now, let's stay in Wise County for a little while.
Okay.
Because I have another story.
Oh.
Coming from just up the road from Big Stone Gap, a little place called Esserville.
Uh-huh.
Which is located between Norton and Wise on the old road.
Okay.
All right. Now, stories are told of a haunted rock located on that road, which is old U.S. 23, between Norton and Wise. Folks tell of a man who was driving a wagon along this road one night, and just as he passed this rock, a large black dog came out from the shadows and crossed the road directly in front of the wagon. When it got to the other side, the animal disappeared. Just then, this man saw a woman he recognized, a lady who lived nearby, apparently walking out toward the road to greet him. As she approached, he told her, "Hello," but she paid him no mind, continuing on to an outdoor stairs to the second floor of her house, going up and inside and shutting the door behind her. Well, this man thought that the lady was acting kind of strange. I mean, she'd never done that before, just intentionally ignored him. His puzzlement, though, turned to shock the next day when he returned home and found out that this friend of his had died the week before. Well, the haunted rock tells another tale, Gina.
Oh.
This one of the Civil War. Seems a soldier was home on furlough during that war. He and a friend were out one night after dark, headed back home along that road through Esserville. As they got up to the rock, they saw that same big dog disappearing into the brush. It was at that instant they also saw a man dressed in a Confederate military uniform rising out of said rock. There this apparition stood, blood streaming from a head wound. A week later, after the soldier returned to his unit, he was shot in the head and killed, the wound matching exactly the wound on the figure in the rock.
Oh, wow.
Then there was a time that four boys who lived near the Esserville community were out possum hunting one night. About midnight, they were starting home with the night's catch of possum when they happened to pass that haunted rock. Just as they got there, that old dog suddenly appeared. This time, though, it just walked up to the boys, wagging its tail in a friendly manner. It approached first one, then another of the boys, ignoring the fourth. The dog then seemed to just melt away into the ground. A few days later, one of the three became ill and died within days. Later, another boy suddenly died of mysterious causes. Finally, that third boy died after a lingering illness, leaving only the fourth unscathed, the one that did not encounter the dog. Now, with all the road construction between Wise and Norton over the years, nobody knows if this rock is still there. But, folks, if you happen to be traveling the old route through Esserville late one night and suddenly see a big black dog in front of you, you'd best turn around and head straight back home.
It does sound that way.
Ooh. How about that?
That's spirits and haints.
Yeah, two haint stories for us from our local area over in Wise County. And it's part of the folklore of this place we call home, Appalachia. Thanks for listening, folks. We hope you enjoy listening to the Mountain Lore Podcast as much as we enjoy telling them to you. Now, you can subscribe to the Mountain Lore Podcast at Radio Public. Download the Radio Public app, listen to the podcast on the app, and we get a share of revenue that will help us continue to bring you these tales from Appalachia. You can also subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app. We're on Facebook and Twitter at My Appalachia. Thanks again for listening to our tales. Till next we meet, be safe. So long, everybody.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.